Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Glad that we can be here on this beautiful Lord's Day to serve our Lord, to study from His Word. I invite you to be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. That's where I've got my Bible open to, and I invite you to open up your Bible there as well. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 11. While you're finding Ephesians 3 and verse 11 in your Bible, let me say how glad I am to be here. I hope that you're glad to be here as well. We've got a wonderful opportunity this morning to serve God. I am particularly excited because we're starting a new series this morning. You know how I feel about series. I love series. You know, series give us a plan. They give us something of a purpose. They allow us to look forward to something. They give us structure in what we're studying. And so I very much enjoy series. This particular series, though, I have been thinking about, I've been mulling over for the better part of a year now. And I'm excited to begin it. It has been a monumental task. It will continue to be so. But I hope it is a very edifying, a very uplifting thing that we will be studying. We're going to be talking this morning, beginning a series called God's Eternal Purpose. God's Eternal Purpose. God has a plan. God has a purpose for us in this life. We want to understand what that purpose is and how exactly we fit into all of that. And so we're going to be spending probably the better part of the next 6 months or so looking at God's eternal purpose. We're going to do this as we have done many of our series, just looking at it once a month. Maybe on occasions where we've got 5 Sundays, we will come back to this and do it twice a month. But I want us to be thinking about God's eternal purpose. What is God's purpose for me? Why am I here? What does God want from me? And so we're going to seek to answer that question. Maybe you're here this morning and you are visiting with us. We do have some visitors. We want to let you know you are honored guests. We are truly glad to have you with us, and we would invite you back to worship with us at any opportunity that you may have. There are a couple of our members here this morning that we need to make a special note of. First of all, it's good to see Miss Evelyn back with us. She is doing well today. It's good to see her. Also good to see Sister Erlene with us as well. As the Edmondsons, they've been away from us for a little while dealing with sickness and various things, and so it's good to see them back with us as well. We want to be mindful of those who are gone, who are traveling, who are away from us, particularly the Johnsons, as they are still over in Romania, that they will have safe return as they return home next week. Is it next week, I believe? The 23rd is in my head. And so we want to be mindful of them. Invite everybody to be back this evening, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. we have another opportunity to worship our God, to study from His Word. This evening, we're continuing in our series in the Gospel of John. We will be looking at John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 30. John chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 30, if you want to read to be prepared for our study this evening. Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 11, picking up there in the middle of a thought, it says this was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Here in this text, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that God had this eternal purpose, this purpose that spans from before the creation of the world all the way through the end of eternity. There's this master plan that God had. God had this purpose, this will, this plan. And we want to understand something of that this morning. We're going to be focusing most of our attention this morning here in the book of Ephesians. And in particular, if you'll turn back a couple of pages, Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to be focusing. God has an eternal purpose. God had a plan. What is that purpose? What is that plan? And how do I fit into it? Well, if I can sum up what we're going to be talking about this morning, God's eternal purpose was from before the foundation of the world. God's eternal purpose was from before the foundation of the world, and it extends to eternity. Number two, God's eternal purpose was realized through Jesus Christ. And that text that we just read there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that it was realized or accomplished in Jesus Christ. Number three, God's purpose, God's plan, as we are going to see, it is for the glory of God. That is its end. That is its goal. That's what God is trying to accomplish with this plan, with this purpose. It is for His glory. And finally, then, number four, God's purpose that was from before the foundation of the world that extends to the end of time, God's purpose that was realized through Jesus Christ, God's purpose for His glory. Number four, fourthly and finally, that purpose includes you and me. We are part of that. We're part of God's grand scheme, part of God's grand plan. And that is an awesome thing. Well, those are my four points. You can pack up your Bible and we can go home. No, I would like for us to explore those things a little bit further, to unpack those things a little bit further as we look here in Ephesians chapter 1. Will you read with me Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3? Let's just get the text before us. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, and all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works everything, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him also, when you heard of the word of truth, of the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." Did you see it? Did you see it there? God's eternal purpose? All those points that we talked about at the beginning, they're all here. God had a purpose from before the foundation of the world and extends to the end of time, to the fullness of time, as Paul says here. God had a purpose and it was realized in Jesus Christ. God had a purpose and His purpose was for His glory. And God's great purpose, it includes you and me. It includes you and me. Let's unpack that a little bit. Beginning with this first point, that God's purpose was from before the foundation of the world. Now, Paul notes that, and that should strike us. That should strike us. It should let us know that what we see happening in Jesus Christ, that what is going on right now, even in our own lives, these are not just haphazard things. These are not just circumstance and happenstance. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. And so as we look at history, and as history is unfolding, all of it is according to God's purpose. All of it, God is using some way to accomplish His plan, to accomplish His will. God's plan was from before the foundation of the world. And again, that should strike us. Who here is a planner? Who here is a planner? That's what I said. I was expecting Barbara to raise her hand first, and she didn't, and so I had to repeat it. And if Rowan was here, she certainly would have raised her hand. We've got a lot of planners. I like to plan. In fact, that's something that I find enjoyment in. If you're a planner, maybe that makes sense to you. It's fun, right? To see how things are going to work out, to just sit down with a piece of paper and say, you know what, for the next however many months or days or whatever else, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how things are going to work, and this is my schedule, blah, 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 blah. It all works out like that. I like to plan. And hence the sermon series. That kind of goes into the planning. I like planning my school schedule. I don't know if anybody else enjoys that, but I like knowing what's coming. I like knowing what I'm going to do when I go into the office on Monday. I like to have a plan. Do your plans always work out? They always work out like you plan them? Does everything always go according to plan? Well, no, they don't. And that's kind of the Achilles heel for us planners is we like to plan, but things don't always work out like they should or like we think they should. But with God, God's plans work. When God purposes something, God brings it about. There is never any interruption in his plan. There's never any interruption in his schedule. There's never something that just throws him off his game and he says, well, now the whole plan is shot and so we got to start all over. That doesn't happen with God. God is above that. God is sovereign over that. He is sovereign over time. He is sovereign over the things that happen. And so when a speed bump comes up in God's way, God's even able to use that in his plan for his purpose, for his glory. So God has this plan. It was from before the foundation of the world. God's plan never fails. And something that should strike us here. So everything that happens, I should rephrase. We have a statement sometimes that we say, everything happens for a reason. I don't believe that to be true. I think it sounds good. But I don't know that that is true. That everything happens because God foreordained that this specific thing would happen. That if the wind blows and a leaf comes in front of our car and somehow we were focusing on this leaf or this butterfly and then we crash into a pole, that God purposed for the wind to blow to blow the leaf so that we would look at the leaf and crash the car into the pole. No, I don't think it works that way. I don't think God has to work in a deterministic way like that. I think God is able to use things in this life, things, happenstance, circumstances that we face for his will, for his purpose. But I don't think God is necessarily behind every little thing that happens. If I trip and fall as I'm walking down the stairs after this sermon, I don't know that God, I mean, he may have caused that. If I have a bad sermon, that might be my punishment. But really, I don't think that God works that way. And I don't think we should try to put God in a box and say, this is how God works or this is how he does it. And so as God is working out this plan that was from before the foundation of the world, we need to understand that God is able to use events and circumstances and ways that we might not see, ways that we might not understand. We also need to realize that God is working the plan. Scott, in his remarks before the Lord's Supper, said something very interesting and something very fitting for the day. I didn't talk to Scott on what I was going to be preaching on. But Scott, you said that Jesus' life wasn't taken. That he gave it. That was part of the plan. That wasn't just something awful that happened to Jesus that was so unforeseen that God had this plan to come and set up Jesus as his king and ultimately to bring all people to himself, as Isaiah chapter 2 talks about, where all nations are coming to the mountain of God and bowing down before the king. God tried to accomplish that plan in Jesus, but that plan really never happened because ultimately Jesus was crucified on a cross. You may talk to your friends, you may talk to your neighbors, and that's how they're going to present it. That we who live right now, this is kind of the B plan. This is kind of option B. This is not really what God wanted. God really did not want to establish the church, but he had to kind of concede because his plan really didn't work out and Jesus died on the cross because we rejected him. And so this is just really plan B. Have you ever heard that in conversation? And that is patently false. Oh, what scriptures say is that God's plan is from the fullness of time. It's from before the foundation of the world. And even the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That was all part of God's plan. God had a plan from before the foundation of the world. You know, that strikes me. Because what that means then is, when we talk about people like Noah and Abraham and Esther and David and Ruth and all of these great Bible characters that we love reading about as children and that we reflect on as adults and we try to learn stories from their life, these are not just people and characters and stories. These are real people. And God accomplishes his plan and his purposes through them. As we look through the entirety of the history of mankind, we need to understand that God is working his purpose. Now, how he does that, we cannot say for sure. The exact workings of how God works and his providence and how he brings things to pass, I don't know that we can say much more than the fact that God is working. How he does that, I don't exactly know. But God is working. God has a plan. And so this brings up the question of, well, what do we do with our Old Testament? Because sometimes I think we, Christians living under this new covenant of Jesus Christ, look back to that old covenant, particularly the old covenant scriptures, and we say, why do I need to read that? Why do I need to read Leviticus and all of those passages, chapters after chapters after chapters, about ritual cleansing? And about being ceremonially and ritually cleansed. Why do I need to read about the sacrifices? Why do I need to read about what you can do with which cloths and why you can't sew two cloths together of different kinds? What do I need to read about any of that? What does that matter? Why does it matter what happened to a man 4,000 years ago? Well, it matters because it's all part of God's eternal purpose. It matters because what God has revealed to us in his word is part of what God was using to accomplish his purposes. And so the next lesson that we're going to do next month is going to be a lesson called The Bible Tapestry. And what we want to accomplish in that lesson is just to understand that look, God is accomplishing a purpose. God has a plan. And we can see these themes as they're interwoven throughout Scripture. We can see these types and these antitypes that are all ultimately fulfilled in Christ and his people by looking at the Old Testament Scriptures. What's the point of reading the Old Testament? Well, there's lots of purpose in reading the Old Testament. Because ultimately, God's plan is revealed. And if we're going to understand God's plan fully, we need the entirety of his revelation. And so this plan from before the foundation of the world, that includes you and me today, but it also includes people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Noah, and Esther, and Ruth, and some of those other great people that we like to read about and study about. So God's plan is from before the foundation of the world. Number two, this plan was accomplished through Jesus Christ. We've already alluded to this. There in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 11, it says this, that this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, when we think about the purpose, the plan, the will, and all of those words we see several times there throughout Ephesians chapter 1, you see another phrase there. In him we were chosen. In Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ, we were predestined, verse 5. We were blessed, verse 6, in the Beloved, in him, in Jesus. We have redemption through his blood. In him, the mystery of the will of God, the purpose of God, has been made known. It has been set forth in Christ. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him, when we heard the gospel of truth, verse 13, the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believed in him, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This purpose, it was accomplished through Jesus Christ. It was set forth in Jesus Christ. It was realized in Jesus Christ. Again, the point that we made just a few moments ago. Jesus' death on the cross, it was not just an unfortunate circumstance, an unfortunate happenstance that happened, and so now God's got to go with option B, with plan B. No, it was all God, part of God's plan from the beginning. And when we look, in a couple of months, back at Genesis chapter 3, there in verse 15, where it talks about Satan bruising the heel of Jesus, and Jesus, ultimately we understand that's Jesus, bruising the heel of, or the head of the serpent. We understand that was all part of God's plan from before the foundation of the world. What happened through Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross, in what we see happening in our lives today as the church, that's not plan B, folks. That's That was God's original purpose. And so again, we need to be impressed by the fact that all of this is taking place in Him. Those are the operative words of Ephesians chapter 1. Point number three. God's plan that was from before the foundation of the world, that He worked out through Jesus Christ, it was for God's honor and glory. Did you catch that? Three times we read that all of what God was doing here was for the praise of His glory. And verse 6 it says, to the praise of His glorious grace. Why were we adopted by God? Why were we chosen by God? Well, it was to the praise of His glorious grace. In verse 12, we have an obtained an inheritance. We were the first to hope in Christ. Again, so that we might be to the praise of His glory. We have this inheritance waiting for us that we are going to acquire possession of. In verse 14, and again, it is to the praise of His glory. God's plan, God's purpose. It's not just about me, and it's not just about you. And ultimately, it's not really about us at all. It's about Him. It's about Him. The article that's included in the bulletin this morning, I encourage you to read it if you haven't already. I try to pick articles that will in some way go along with either the morning or the evening lesson. And this article by Barry Kirchwell does a really great job of emphasizing it's not about us. It's about God. God had concern for His holy name. God had concern for His praise, His honor, His glory. All of what God has done is to reflect on Him. And so even as it appears that the spotlight is shining on us, our job is to reflect that light back to Him. We are who we are because of His love, because of His grace, because of His faithfulness, because of His goodness. And so we reflect all of the light, all of the glory, all of the praise, all of the honor. It goes to God. How we live. How we live, what we say. All of that has an impact on whether or not God is glorified. On whether or not God's plan is being worked out through our lives. You see, because God has given us free will. And that's something of the great paradox of God. Yes, God is sovereign. And yet God accomplishes His purpose. But God has the type of control where He does not have to force His will to happen. He does not have to force you or me, like robots, like people who have been programmed to fall in line according to His purpose or His will. He's given us the ability to decide to choose Him or not. And so the implication there is then that we must choose Him for His glory. We must live for His glory. That when we wake up in the morning, when we lie down in the evening, and all that we do in between, it is to be for the glory of God. God offered us a way to be cleansed from our sins, to be reconciled into relationship with Him, so that we might be to His honor, to His glory. And the last point here, then, is that this plan involves you and me. This plan involves you and me. I wanted to save this point for last for a couple of reasons. We've already, both implicitly and explicitly, talked about this. But I wanted to save it for last for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want us to appreciate how awesome it is that we are part of this plan. God had a plan. God had a purpose. Even before we were ever brought into existence, even before this world was ever brought into existence, God had a plan and a purpose. And He determined to use the course of human history, to use frail men like you and me as part of that. And so we need to appreciate the awesomeness of that. We need to appreciate the awesomeness of the fact that just as God used great men and great women like Abraham and Sarah, like Isaac and Jacob, like Moses and Miriam and Ruth and David and Esther, God also wants to use you and me in that plan so that we might be to the praise of His glory. And so, number one, we save this for last so that we would appreciate how awesome it is that we are part of this plan. But number two, it is to remind ourselves that God's plan isn't all about us. We are a big part of that plan, but it is not all about us. You'll notice in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 10, as Paul talked about this plan that God had, a plan for the fullness of time, a plan for eternity, it was to unite all things in Him. Things in heaven and things on earth. Have you ever given that any thought? Things in heaven and things on earth? We get the things on earth part, right? The whole part of chapter 3 and chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians is going on to explain that God, in this great mystery, has called Jews and Gentiles into relationship with Him. And He hasn't done so through an old covenant, through the law, but through the person Jesus Christ. That is the great mystery of God's plan. And so we understand the things on earth, that God wanted us to be in relationship with Him. But things in heaven? That's a curious thought. It's a curious thought, and it's something that we just get a glimpse of in Scripture, but it is certainly there. Look back to where we began in Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 11. Well, we'll pick up actually in verse 9. Let's pick up in verse 8 just to get the full sentence. Paul, as he's talking about this great mystery, he says, "To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." And let's just be impressed there. Again, going back to that, the first point, that God had this plan for all time, for all eternity, but now He has revealed it through His apostles and through His prophets. But notice verse 10. This plan that God had, it was so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Through the church, through the group of people who are saved, who have been called by God according to His purpose. The people that have different backgrounds, the Jews, the Gentiles, the barbarians, the educated men. All people coming together from all these different backgrounds where they would normally have no association. They all come together to the praise, to the honor of God. They all act as one. They all live in such a way so as to bring honor and glory to God. And what that communicates to these who are called the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places is the wisdom of God. This plan involves you and me. But it's not just about us. You think about what's going on in the cosmic realm beyond us. And again, we don't have a lot in Scripture, but we are given bites and bits and pieces, morsels to taste and to ponder. That there are heavenly beings, spiritual beings, that are on God's side. And then there are those who are not. There are those who ridicule and who mock. There are those who follow Satan. And then there are those who stand on the side of God. And so we are given a glimpse of this great thing that is beyond us, this thing that we can't even see. This conflict, ultimately between good and evil, between God and Satan, between dark and light. What's going on in the background, and we're only given a glimpse of that. But we're part of all of that. We're part of all of that. We're part of, on the final day, After Jesus has put all things under submission to the will of God, as Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that includes not only things on earth, you and me, but that includes all of those forces, all of those beings in the heavenly places that are on the side of God, not on the side of God. It isn't about you and me, but it involves you and me. And we need to say a word here about what we often call God's plan of salvation. We often say God's plan of salvation is hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And then we might even throw live faithfully, pulling from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. All of that is necessary. All of that is important. But all of that misses the point, misses the purpose of God's plan of salvation. Those things, those are our response to what God is working out through Jesus Christ. And so they need to be emphasized, they need to be said, but we cannot and we should not boil God's great plan down to just those five things. Because God has had this plan from the fullness of time. God's plan includes men, again, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Miriam, and Ruth, and Esther. God's plan of salvation, if we want to call it that, is a plan that does not end when we rise out of the waters of baptism, but it ends when every knee and every person bows and every being bows before God and brings honor and glory to Him. That is God's plan. We cannot turn it into something self-centered. Because when we do that, we forget what God is trying to accomplish. We think what God wants is just for saved people to sit around with Him in His presence and His glory forever, just to enjoy His company, because they were so bold, were so intelligent, were so wise, so as to make the decision to accept Him. No, that's not what God wants. God wants to bring people into a relationship with Him. God, you'll notice the phrasing that's used here. God chose, God predestined, God cleansed, God saved. Why? So that we might be holy and blameless before Him. So that we, in this relationship with our Father, might bring Him honor and praise and glory. That's ultimately the end game, the end goal of God's plan. And we need to keep that perspective in mind. God's plan is grand and it is profound. But it's worked out in some very practical ways in our lives. If you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, you know that the rest of the book of Ephesians goes on to talk about some very practical things about how we walk, how we live. God's plan for His honor and glory that ultimately includes you and me. It's worked out in what we say. It's worked out in how we relate to one another. It's worked out in how we love. It's worked out in how we give. It's worked out in what we do with our money and with our time. It's worked out as we ultimately face those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There in Ephesians chapter 6. As we put on the armor of God. As we say no, only by the grace of God, by the power of God, by putting our faith in the strength of God, by being strong and in the strength of His might. God's plan for His glory, it's worked out in all of those ways. It's worked out, husbands, as you love your wives. It's worked out, wives, as you respect and honor your husbands. It's worked out, fathers, as you seek to teach your children, and mothers, as you seek to teach your children. It's worked out, children, as you seek to obey your parents. It's worked out, employees as you submit and obey your employers, not because you're trying to please them, but ultimately because you're trying to please and honor God. That's how it's worked out. It's worked out in some very practical ways. And so as we go throughout this series, as we are pulling together this tapestry, as we're seeing this tapestry that God has painted in His Scriptures of this plan that He had from before the foundation of the world that He has worked out in human history, we want to understand that in my life and in your life, it's worked out in some very practical ways. I hope this has been, although it is only a taste, I hope that it has been helpful. I hope that as we have surveyed, and really that's all we have done in Ephesians chapter 1, there was so much there that we could have broken down, that we could have dove into, that we can understand, that we can appreciate. God has this great plan. God has this great plan that He worked through a crucified Christ on the cross. That in that He drew all these people to Himself. And they're all able to be in relationship with Him. They're all able to call Him Father. Ultimately for His honor, for His glory. And we're part of that plan. We're part of that plan. God's glorious plan includes you, it includes me. The question is, are we living according to His purpose? Again, the point that we made earlier, God's not going to force us. He's not going to make us. He's going to allow the chips to fall where they may. The question is, will we be on His side? Will we live to His honor, to His praise, to His glory? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not yet a child of God. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're part of God's plan. You're just not on the right side. Ultimately, He will be glorified. He will be honored through you. Whether by your life, your choosing of Him, or whether by your death and your eternal destruction, as God is ultimately vindicated and justified. The question is, how will you do it? How will you live to the honor and glory of God? I hope this morning that you will be impressed by what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. You will be impressed by what God is doing, and you will want to be part of that plan. Will you come to Him this morning? Will you join in God's great plan, not just for your salvation, but for His honor and His glory? Can you help you? Can we help you with that? If you're here this morning, you have any need, if we can help you, you ask to come forward now as we stand, as we sing.